is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Dr. Albert Mohler is absent for the gospel today. He's speaking at the Together for the Gospel Conference. 3,000 people gathered here in Louisville, Kentucky. And you, wherever you are across the country, you can get updates on what's going on at that conference at togetherforthegospel.org, including some live blogging by Tim Challies, who will be giving really synopses of everything that's going on at the conference and letting you know what's happening as it is happening. That's togetherforthegospel.org. You know, one of the interesting things about the Together for the Gospel conference is that you've got a group of men who come together and talk about the ways in which they're able to sharpen each other. And I thought that was something we ought to talk about today, especially in a time when friendship and community and accountability don't really mean much of anything at all, especially among men. You know, there's a tendency in our churches to have very, very shallow and meaningless friendships. And so we know the guy that we talk to at the coffee pot, and we know the guy that we speak to as we're doing the shaking hands ritual in our churches, but we don't really know one another very well. And what happens is we try to substitute things for it, like the accountability group, where a group of guys get together once a week and they share. You know, these are the temptations I'm dealing with. These are the sins that I've struggled with this week. But usually what happens in those kinds of groups is you have men who don't really have any other kind of connection other than sharing a common sin or a common struggle. And I don't really think that that's the way that the Proverbs tell us, for instance, to sharpen one another. Instead, I think it's through real relationships with people who come together, not as part of a program. You know, all the time you'll hear in churches about these care groups that take place. You, and you get together and commune. But that's not really the way that community works. It's not the way that friendship works. A lot of times you don't even know it's there until a year or so down the road when you look around and see it. Look around and backtrack, recognize that it's there. That's what I want to talk about today. Friendship, accountability, community for the sake of the gospel. And I want to know what you think. How are you able to have friendships in your life that can really hold you accountable to the gospel? Friendships that are really able to sharpen you. And or maybe some of you have to say, I don't have any friendships like that, and I don't even know where to start looking to have that kind of accountability in my life. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe there are some of you out there who are pastors, who are church leaders, who are really trying to establish community and friendship within your churches, and I'd like to talk to you, too. How are you doing this? How are you making sure that people who don't know one another really connect, really do know one another, not in some sappy, sentimental, psychotherapeutic way, but in a real gospel-sanctifying way? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, in the news today, United 93, the film is coming out, and there is an article by David Beamer, father of Todd Beamer, who, of course, died when that flight went down on September the 11th, 2001. Really a powerful article in which he says the filmmakers got it right. And really, this is important because so many people are saying we really shouldn't go and see this movie because it's going to be morbid and it's going to bring out all kinds of unhelpful emotions. But Todd Beamer's dad says, I encourage my fellow Americans and free people everywhere, he says, to see United 93. And he says the reason for that is because it reminds us of the enemy, reminds us who the real enemy is. He says also it's inspiring in that it's a true story of heroic actions, as he puts it, taken by ordinary people with victorious consequences. You know, that's an interesting word. That is something that we so often don't see, especially in film, when we have really extraordinary superhuman people doing extraordinary superhuman things. David Beamer says, you know, when you look at United 93, you've got a bunch of guys on a flight headed to go take care of business somewhere. And what happens? They find themselves with an enemy and they step up to the plate. United 93. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'll let you know what I think when I do. Also, Iranian president has spoken out. He says the UN called to stop the enrichment of nuclear weapons, producing nuclear fuel. He says, you're not going to stop us. We're going to keep on doing it, which means that this thing is ratcheting up all the more. Also, Australian research is showing that mobile phones, they affect brain function. Radiation from mobile phones, mobile phones, as they put it, affects the way the brain works. And those of us who use mobile phones, cell phones all the time, it says we're just not quite as quick as we would be ordinarily. So what was I talking about? Oh, the news. In other news, also, there is a new trend going on, and that is the Bible purse. Fox News is reporting this. I really don't see how this is new. I mean, you've been having these crocheted Bible carry things in our churches since I was a kid. But they're seeing this as faithful fashionistas who have a new, what's called a Fem Sud, which is a new leather Bible clutch, $495, and each book-shaped Bible bag twice the size of a standard issue, whatever a standard issue is, and it comes with vamp red lipstick and a coin purse that says pennies from heaven. And the article says the reason why people are carrying this is because it's a surefire way to attract attention from the opposite sex. There's a quote, I went out in Houston with a friend who was carrying my Bible bag, says Robin. We couldn't even have a conversation because every 2 minutes another guy would come over to ask about it. If you're a man who's really attracted by a Bible bag, I'd really like to talk to you and find out what's up with that. But not today. Today we're talking about friendship. Accountability, community. I want to hear from you. Are there men in your life, those of you who are men, are there men in your life who specifically drive you toward greater faithfulness and greater obedience to the Word of God? Or I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you men who say, no, there's nobody like that in my life, and I wish there were. I want to hear from you. Maybe some of you say, these are the ways that my friends, that my real life accountability group is really able to hold me accountable. How do you do it? What do you ask one another? Do you have some type of a program of lists of questions? Or is it more informal? Is it something that just has to do with the living out of life together? I want to hear from those of you women out there who say, you know, in my own life, women in our friendships able to hold us accountable and to drive us toward greater faithfulness. How does that work? What does that look like in your life? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe some of you say, you know what, I've got a programmed accountability group, and that's all I need. That's what I need. I don't really want to spend a lot of time around other men. I've got too much going on as it is. Well, I'd like to hear from you, too. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we'll talk about the issue of friendship, accountability, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, yesterday I was speaking to a group of bloggers, people who have weblogs, and they gathered together for this meeting, and there were several of us on a panel. And one of the interesting questions that I was asked, that the panel was asked, was a question that asked, how can we use blogging to create community? My answer was, you can't use blogging to create community. Blogging can't create community. And there are a lot of people who assume that it can. There are a lot of people who think, you know, the people who email me or the people who respond to the comments on my blog, these are my friends. Sometimes you'll even see this among teenagers who really believe that they have friends scattered out all over the country that they know simply via the internet. I think that is a strange way of seeing community. And, I mean, right now in the New York Times today, there is an article about grieving on MySpace, about people who have lost loved ones, and they're coming together and grieving and recalling the lives that are lost on the internet. Now, how can you build a community grieving for someone online? I don't think you can. I think that real community has to happen, as the Apostle John tells us. He says to them, I'm writing you this letter, but I would rather see you face to face. There's something about very informal, very unstructured lives living together that's what Jesus says we need. So that John is able to tell us in 1 John, if you don't love the brothers, you don't know Jesus. There's some of you out here today, maybe listening to me right now, who are lonely, who are isolated, who are alienated, you don't have real relationships, you don't have friends, and it might be because you want it that way. If that's the case, I think the Bible indicates that's a really deep spiritual problem and something we need to get a hold of. But there may be others of you out there who say, hey, I'm introverted, I'm shy, I don't even know how to engage with other men, with other women. Well, give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what that's like. Maybe others of you say, you know, I've got this group of guys, this group of women, and this is how we work it together. Give me a call. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking about friendship, accountability, and the gospel today. Michael W. Smith singing Friends Are Friends Forever, which I think was written intentionally to sing when a new youth minister, when an old youth minister moves on somewhere else, wasn't it? Didn't you all have that sung every time the youth minister resigned, no matter how long he'd been there? But there is something about biblical, godly friendship and accountability and community that I think is necessary for sanctification. And that's what we're talking about today. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What I want to know from you is, how do you establish and maintain friendships? What does that look like in your life? Is it very structured? Is it not? If so, how structured? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, and let me know. And maybe some of you say, you know what? What I'm trying to do is to encourage this within my church. How do you do that? How do you make sure that you're encouraging that kind of real community within your churches? Not canned community that you can order from a publisher somewhere, but real, genuine friendship and accountability. And I have in the studio with me today two of my best friends, Randy Stinson, who's the Executive Director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, and Dr. Peter Shim, who is the Dean of Southeastern College at Wake Forest in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And I had invited kind of the other one of this kind of quartet of brothers, David Prince, who is the pastor of Ashland Avenue Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, just an hour away from here. But Pastor Prince just doesn't have dominion over his own schedule. He just wasn't able to make it work. He had someone to counsel at 4 o'clock, and he couldn't rearrange that. And that's one of the things that we have to work with, frankly, with Pastor Prince about, you know, is just encouraging him to be a decisive leader. And that's one of the things that we do is really not only encouraging one another, but frankly, rebuking one another. Randy and Pete, welcome to the program.
Thanks. We're glad to be here. And boy, I'm glad I made it.
That's exactly right. Now, when you think about this issue of friendship and accountability, Randy, I remember one time, I tell this all the time, about you giving the anecdote of someone talking to you about, let's just bond today. And that's just not the way friendship works, is it?
That's right. You can't manufacture it. And men, generally, you're not supposed to talk about it. It's happening, but you don't need to say that it's happening.
Yeah.
And, I think a lot of friendships between men are either artificial or manufactured, or like you said, churches put these guys together and say, okay, be best friends.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works. Men do need to be spending time together, but that's how you kind of decide, hey, I like this guy. He's a godly guy. We're sharpening one another, but you can't manufacture that.
Yeah, yeah. Pete, what do you think about sharpening one another? You know, Randy just mentions. How do you do that?
Well, I love the language of Proverbs 27:17, which is you do look one another in the face. It's the face to face language. Some translations get that right.
Mm-hmm.
As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance or his face, the other man's face. So this has got to be some sort of eye to eye, face to face relationship.
So blogging and commenting on one another
is kind of a little deficient.
It doesn't really do it.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, one of the things that I think really helps this particular group of friendships is that we have a good time. And so, frankly, if you could listen in on the in-between segments time in here, you'd really hear an uproarious time going on. And I think that is a lot of what the Bible's speaking about when it talks about friendship is joy.
Yes.
And that's a lot of what's missing in churches when you try to design these. Now, Pete, have you ever seen these churches that have accountability groups where you're kind of assigned to the accountability group?
Yes.
Or to the community group? What do you think about that kind of thing?
Well, I think the vehicle, I don't know if the vehicle's the problem. I think you're dead on in terms of you can't manufacture this. Real relationships, I think, is what we're after here. Sometimes the vehicle works, sometimes the vehicle doesn't work. So I don't know.
Are you daring to disagree with me on this program? Randy, what about you?
Let me say something a little more decisive than that, Dr. Moore. I think most of these accountability groups are big on they got the group part right, but it's the accountability that doesn't happen, because what typically happens is they just devolve into they're sharing their concerns, they're patting each other on the back, but there's not really that biblical admonishment going on, that biblical correction going on, and so there's no iron sharpening iron. It's just everybody kind of wallowing around in the same mire, and
yeah.
That's what's good about our relationship here is that we're not afraid to call one another and say, hey, what in the world are you doing?
Yeah, well,
and quit doing that.
That's exactly right. And frankly, I mean, I've told this to a group of people one day. I said, let me tell you, one of the greatest deterrents to immorality in my life, I mean major immorality, one of the greatest deterrents is the fact that I don't want to have to get on the telephone and call Pete Shim and Randy Stinson and David Prince and Robbie Sagers and say, you know what, guess what I need to tell you all. That's really a major deterrent, and I don't think that's worldly or carnal. I think that God's designed us to have that because when – I think there's a sense in which we can isolate ourselves from God from a faith that is not yet sight, and one of the ways that we're called to really see that reality is with one another.
One of the problems with accountability language is it just seems to be playing defense the whole time. And I love what you said. This is about a we can go have fun together. There's joy in this. We walk with God together. Let's talk about playing offense together.
Okay.
Let's pursue God together.
Yeah.
All the people who use accountability language, it seems to me, those who use accountability language are just talking about defense.
Yeah.
They're not talking about offense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and part of it is, you know, we steal each other's articles, each other's sermons.
I want to get to the borrowing money part.
and frankly, a lot of it has to do with just hearing what's going on. I mean, I heard Pete, you let me know a couple weeks ago about preaching at a father-son retreat and having a father stand up and say, hey, I just want to confess Christ in front of my son right now. That had a powerful impact upon my own spiritual walk, just thinking about the power of the gospel.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I want to hear from you. What kind of friendships are you able to create and to maintain? And what are you really – maybe there's some of you who say, I don't have any kind of fellowship. I don't have any kind of friendship, but this is what I really need. This is what I'm praying for, and this is what I would want it to look like. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we'll talk about it. Maybe others of you are saying, you know what, this is what we need in our churches, and I'm trying to build it and create it. What are you doing to create fellowship and friendship, accountability within your churches? Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. And there may be some of you who say, you know what, we're in our churches, we don't have any relationships, we don't have any friendship, we don't have any fellowship. And what I want to know from you is, why do you think that is? Why do we have churches filled with people who don't really know one another and who don't really know anybody all through the week? There's a lot of men out there, especially. I know it's true with women, too, but especially with men. There are a lot of men who work all day. They come home. They eat supper, and then they get in the Lazy Boy, and they jack that thing on back, and they turn on the television, and that's what they do for the rest of the night. That's a pitiful, pathetic kind of an existence. Some of you are living in existence like that. How do you get out of that? How do you get out of that rut? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're talking about friendship, accountability, how we get along together as a community in a world that seems to be splintering apart. Our churches ought not to be that way. You know, Jesus had a group of disciples. He had the crowds. He had the masses. He had 12 disciples. He had 3 disciples that he took with him especially. And then he had 1 disciple whom Jesus loved. And that kind of relationship, the Bible honors and sanctifies. Share your story. Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And this is the Albert Mohler Program. there's no whiskey or beer involved here, but I do have some friends in some low places. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller. It's the Albert Moeller Program, and today we're talking about friendship, community, and accountability in the church. Have with me in the studio Dr. Randy Stinson, the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, and Dr. Pete Shim with Southeastern College at Wake Forest, both talking about the way that our friendship actually sanctifies us. The Lord uses it to conform us more closely to the image of Christ. And why don't we see that in our churches? Why don't we have real friendships often within our churches, and what can we do to change that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we will talk about that today. But first, we have on the line Norman, who is listening in Lincoln, Nebraska on KMMJ. Norman, welcome to the Albert Moeller Program.
Three quick ideas. Don't we make better friends sometimes we sweat together on a project? Okay, number two, sometimes I'll state a flaw, just the title of it, and wait to see if some spiritual person will help correct me. And number three, at the prayer times I go to just to have friends, maybe I'm too lazy and don't keep track of the requests and pray for them more diligently and watch God's victory grow. Now, those are three things we can talk about, which for me would be some friendship.
Now, Norman, can you clarify for me number two, when you say that you mention a flaw?
Well, I just did that to you, talking about my flaw of laziness and not keeping track of the prayer requests.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you'll mention something that's going on in your life that really is there. And wait to see what somebody will say. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Norman, you've got different friends than mine because I don't even have to mention my flaws. They mention them to me. They're preemptive strikes that happen before I even get to them. Norman really has thrown out several things, and one of them is a project together will often build friendship. What do you all think about
that? I think it's great. I think it testifies to you got to spend some time with somebody. You got to labor together, and this is the world we live in, and we make friends when we work together, we sweat together, we struggle together. You know, that's sweat and work. So,
well, you know, one of the things that I thought about when Norman said this is, in the three of us have all talked a lot about mentoring, and you know how often people will say to someone older in the faith, "Mentor me." And one of the things I have to say is, you know what? You don't just get together and say, okay, here's the mentoring curriculum, let's just do it.
Right.
A lot of times it's, you know, somebody said to me one time, I'd like to have someone mentor me the way that Al Moeller mentored you. And so I've approached that person and said, can you get me started on this curriculum? And I said, man, Al Moeller didn't have a curriculum. We had a relationship just based upon, you know, working on projects together, driving across the country together, and that's how these things happen. But Norman also mentioned flaws. Randy, how do you think that you confront flaws and confront real problems within another person's character and still remain friends?
Well, that's part of the friendship. I mean, we have a trust with one another that if one of you guys calls me, and as you have on numerous occasions, and even things like, you know, I think you're traveling too much, or, you know, have you been home this week, or what's going on?
Is that directed toward me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's an echo in here.
Yeah.
but and so, you know, that's part of the friendship, is we have allowed each other to say those hard things, and we're not taking offense because we know that this other brother in our life does care about our family and our life and our Christian walk. And so that's what admonishment is.
Sure.
It's one guy saying to another, hey, what are you doing, and why are you doing this? And if you shouldn't be doing it, then quit doing it.
Yeah, that's why we have to say to David Prince, who's not here with us, it's okay to say no. Don't be afraid of people. Well, do you have friendships like this, or do you not? Do you have somebody that you can call and say, I'm going to share this with you, and I believe that you'll confront me on this if I need to be confronted? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Frankly, and I think that the biblical category that we have in the Scripture, treat older men like fathers, younger men like brothers, I think that needs to be played in here, because a lot of times there are relationships more where you have younger men who want to go around confronting everybody. There's a sense in which I will talk to you, Pete, or you, Randy, in a way I would not talk to an older man in my congregation.
Right.
You know, it's just not my place to do that kind of confronting. What do you think? How can we establish and maintain friendships and community in our churches? Why don't we have it? Why do we have men especially who, hey, how you doing? Fine, how about you? And that's the extent of the friendship. Where's that come from? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have a man who started a motorcycle ministry coming up in just a minute. And he says this is a way to establish community. How are you doing that in your own relationships, in your own lives, in your own churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you.
That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about friendship and community and accountability. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and many people think that that's what friendship is about. Fred Rogers cooing about some type of sappy relationship. We're talking about living out lives together and what that has to do with being faithful imagers of Christ. Give me a call at 877-893-8255 and let me know how the friendships in your life really spur you on toward greater faithfulness, or maybe they don't. And why not? Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. We have Terry listening in North Carolina on XM Radio. Terry, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, it's top of the evening to you.
Well, good to hear from you.
Yes, I was listening in, and I also noticed a comment on the iron sharpeneth iron. In my particular situation, years back, it depends on what you're being sharpening with or by. And when I thought about that, and I used to always hear the phrase iron sharpeneth iron, I thought, well, iron's a hard, hard metal. And in order to sharpen another piece of iron metal, it's got to be pretty sharp to start with. So I pretty much had to change my environment. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll take all the heathen friends I get, because all my heathen friends get saved anyway. But I'm an avid biker. And I love motorcycles, and I knew what God was calling me to do. And so I got involved in Christian Bikers. And it's a group called Chariots of Light Christian Bikers in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Okay.
And we minister to whoever will listen, and we minister to a lot of people who don't want to hear it. But the biggest thing about it is within our group, our guys, we truly love each other so much, we can't stay apart too much. We even meet on Friday nights. We used to meet at a Starbucks on Friday nights, just to fellowship with one another, catch up throughout the week, find out what's going on in our lives, any prayer requests, who do we need to talk to. But we're such a close group also that if I say that I'm going to do something, or we may have rode somewhere over the weekend and met somebody, and they might be interested in the gospel, or be kind of, a lot of times they're kind of fascinated by us because we're kind of a crazy bunch. When we're out, we're just having so much fun and enjoying the Lord and fellowshiping with each other. You can tell they want to be a part of this, but they don't understand it, so they ask a few questions. Well, it's also our job to follow up with this person.
Sure, sure. Well, now, Terry's made a point here, which is to say that if iron sharpens iron, it's got to be iron. You really can't have iron being sharpened by a sponge. I mean, it really does need to have the give and take in a friendship. But I think there's a lot of people, though. I've heard some people sometime who say, you know, I only choose friends who are more spiritually mature than I am. I don't think that's necessarily what I'm advocating here. I think you're going to have probably in different stages of life among a group of Christian men, you're going to have some who are more spiritually mature than others at different points, and that's going to change. And that means that the ones who are, as Paul tells the Galatian church, the one who is spiritual helps up the one who is struggling. What does that look like in your friendships and in your relationships, and how do you create that within your churches Or is it just there and they don't want it and there's nothing you can do about it? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Phil on the line. Phil, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I had a comment. I think through my experience that spiritual friendships, good, strong spiritual friendships, is definitely a matter of, I think, conviction. Like, you know, just your personal relationship with Christ, discipleship, conviction, and standard. Because I originally was in a congregation when I lived in California in Los Angeles that had a very legalistic system of discipleship partners. And what would happen there was we kind of have a system where the church would kind of put someone, hey, you know, there's a new person in the Lord who's just accepted Christ. Let's mm-hmm. put someone in your life, and we'll kind of, you know, you guys be one-on-one partners. And it's like someone you have no history with. And what I learned that we went through a time where a lot of that kind of vanished, and a lot of those exchanges and problems came up, and we kind of diminished that system. And now I'm in a local church here in Louisville. And what I learned over time is since I've moved away from that church, what the superficial root of a lot of those relationships were and how few of those people I've been able to stay in contact with, even though given we have history. And I think for myself, it's just been a lot of allowing. Even Philippians 2, I believe, talks about how, you know, to build friendships and to have the humility of Christ, it takes, you know, taking on the interest of others. And sure. I know for me that's difficult because, you know, as Americans, you know, we love football and sports, and I'm kind of like the art geek, you know, and I'm not really into sports, and it takes a lot of looking at other people's interests to get involved in the things that men are doing and not really allowing the standard of the world, which is to do the come home, crack on the TV, sit down in the lazy boy, but really having a personal walk with God that says, you know what, my standard for friendships is not going to be what the world says is okay.
All right, Phil. Well, you know, Phil, I think that there's a place for having that kind of structure that you talked about. I don't necessarily think that's legalism. So you've got the guy who just comes in out of the honky-tonk and gets saved. I think that it's very appropriate for a pastor to say, you know what, I'm putting you together with this more mature believer in Christ to disciple you, to walk with you. I think that's entirely appropriate. I think that's needed. I just don't think that's enough. I think we need more than that. And I think that the natural pattern ought to be to grow out of that within the congregation where, you know, you're really establishing relationships that are beyond just here's your discipler that you have. We have Peter, who is calling from Albany, Oregon, listening on KCCS. Peter, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to comment, you know, just on friendship. You know, I think it goes both ways. Women tend to be more real, more transparent with one another. It just comes more naturally, I think, for the guy than for the guys. But one thing I've noticed is that, you know, transparency is so crucial in you know, in friendship. And
what does that mean, Peter? Transparency.
Well, transparency meaning, you know, look, this is my real life. This is what I really deal with, and you know, and I really need you to help me. And in return for me telling you what's real in my life, you know, I'd like to know what's real in your life because, look, I'm not here to just, you know, shoot the breeze. I'm here to, you know, worship with you and really know what it's all about, you know. So that realness is what I'm getting at.
All right. Yeah, realness. I think so. I think, Peter, sometimes we have these almost therapeutic sounding words that we use, like transparency, that sometimes kind of conceal what we mean rather than actually reveal. And I think a lot of people think transparency means we weep together all the time. But transparency, in the way you're talking about, simply means we know each other. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, talking about friendship and accountability in the church. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. You talk about admonishment. I've been admonished all through the breaks because Randy and Peter whining, they haven't gotten enough airtime today.
Amen.
We're going to make sure that they get some. But before we do, Brian, who is calling in Artesia, New Mexico, listening on XM Radio. Brian, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to join you. I've listened on and off for a while now on XM, and I really enjoy the show. And I heard your topic at the beginning of the show. They're talking about Proverbs 27:17, and we've tried to start a men's ministry in our church here in Artesia, and our theme verse, I guess, based on that. And we're trying to hold one another accountable. And like a caller said earlier, we get out and we sweat together. We have different teams that the men have joined. We have like an auto mechanics team and a home repair team, things like that. We actually get out and do a little bit of sweat equity, so to speak. And so far, that's helping us to form bonds and friendships with one another other than just saying hello in church.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
How long has this been going on, Brian?
We started it probably about, Super Bowl weekend's when we kind of kicked it off. We met with everybody, and we had the men fill out a survey prior to that. I came kind of give them a little rundown of a vision that I believe God gave me as far as putting this thing together. I read a couple of books, such as Wild at Heart way back when, and I read Why Men Hate Going to Church, and it really helped put things in perspective for me, and I've really looked into it for quite a while, prayed about it a long time as far as trying to be a good leader of men, and spoke to my pastor about it, and he said, let's run with it. And so far, it's going. It started out a little slow, and we're gaining momentum slowly but surely, but it's kind of nice.
You know, Brian, I think there are churches all over that need to be starting just that kind of intentionality. Pete, since you're so desperate to get back on the air, what would you say to somebody who says, I don't have any real friendships. I don't have anything that's going on in my life other than very shallow, meaningless relationships. How does a person go about seeking that?
For men who we're particularly addressing, I think I would ask the question of myself, is passivity a problem here? Is mm-hmm. a result of the fall in my life? That I'm unwilling to invite someone like you into my life mm-hmm. and say, let's do it this way. Let's build a godly fellowship in the gospel. Let's
Randy,
build a friendship like
you
that.
Have any last words?
Well, I think, we talked about iron sharpening iron. I think the point is, with our friendship, we're asking each other advice on parenting, on marriage, on living our Christian life. And that's another way, that we've built this friendship over the years is just...
Yeah. Counsel.
Sharpening one of them. That's right.
Exactly right. We're all about to go out to dinner with our wives. Be some real transparency going on. Friendship, accountability. We need it in our churches. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. That's the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.